Danny, for blessing us again this morning. And thank you, church family, for being here today. It's been a sweet service already. Let me invite your attention this morning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. And I want to express my appreciation to the office staff, to Stacy and all those who did such a good job of doing the outline this morning and having it prepared for you. I hope it'll be a helpful study guide for you. Maybe in the future when you have quiet time, you can use that as a guide to help you understand those things maybe we didn't get a chance to cover this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 deals with a very essential theme of bitterness. You may have never struggled with bitterness, but I suspect if you haven't, you will soon. Because there aren't many places we can go and no one can live without experiencing some kind of hurt that comes from living in this old world. Today is the last Sunday of my series, Victory in the Valley. I'm going to finish it up tonight and talk about loneliness and how to defeat loneliness. But this morning we're going to talk about Victory in the Valley, Battling Bitterness. And that's from 1 Samuel 17, where it simply says, and David and Goliath met in the Valley of Elah, and there that momentous day. But this morning, victory in the valley, battling bitterness. The story is told of a very bitter woman who was bitten by a rabid raccoon. Tests were run. The doctor told her that she had rabies, indeed. She then got out a notebook and began to write down names. The doctor asked her if she was making her will out. She responded, "No, I'm making a list of all the people I plan to bite." Bitterness is real. One of the greatest areas we can have victory in our lives is that we get victory over this thing called bitterness. Because none of us is immune. Something in your bitterness coming from something somebody said or did in your family, somebody that you're a close friend with, somebody in your network of friends, maybe even your church. Truth is, nobody is immune. It's a great day of victory when we understand how to deal with hurt, how to avoid the barrier of bitterness. Someone once wrote, and I don't remember where I found this quote, "Bitterness blows out the candle of joy and leaves us in darkness." And then I said that we have a crisis of bitter brothers and sisters and a society of many oftentimes caustic Christians. And then this caught my mind. Bitterness is a deep resentment towards someone or something we feel like has wronged or hurt us. Bitterness is harbored hurt hidden in the heart. It does untold damage to homes, hearts, and churches and communities. Many people are chained to bitterness. For the next few moments, I want to take a few moments to just think about this thing of dealing with bitterness. And if you've never experienced this, just know that maybe the Lord can use this to help deter that ever happening in your life. I want to talk to you for just a moment about the beginning of bitterness. We're going to talk about two things. First of all, the seed of bitterness is a significant hurt. A significant hurt. Now let me just kind of talk to you heart to heart for a moment. The truth is, we live in a society where we're not immune from being hurt. And it can happen in the best of families, the best of relationships, the best of churches. And it's important we get a handle on how to deal with this thing called bitterness, because somebody's going to hurt your feelings sometimes. Somebody's going to do something that will wound you emotionally. And the seed of bitterness is what I've chosen to call a significant hurt. It's interesting to notice that the Greek word for bitterness is pikria, meaning to cut. The term refers to something cutting and sharp and also implies bitter taste. Verses 14 and 15 of Hebrews chapter 2. Paul, of peace with all men and holiness. without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up defile you, and thereby many be defiled. It's interesting that the Bible records for us Saul's struggle with bitterness relative to David. David became a very popular young man. The people of Israel wanted to see him be king. Saul became very jealous and very bitter. Even on one occasion tried to slay David. The truth is, Saul didn't deal very well with bitterness. We've all been hurt. Sometimes that hurt may have been intentional. Sometimes it's unintentional. Sometimes imagined. The truth is, it always comes to all of us at some point in life, in some event. This, whether it's disappointment or betrayal or fiery trials or pride, things said to us, things said about us, things taken from us, dreams crushed. I've even heard of people being bitter at God because of blaming God for things that they didn't understand and couldn't control. The truth is, God wants to give us victory in the valley of bitterness. And so whether you, by the way, I got to think of too also, somebody may have bitter memories. Maybe it goes back all of your childhood. Some things where you were mistreated perhaps, or you were hurt or wounded. I found it interesting as I was studying this week, I think how many commentators made mention of people who got their feelings hurt in church. Now, nobody wants to hurt anybody's feelings, but the truth is, it happens sometimes. And if you just make that, I made up my mind a long time ago, I wasn't going to let anybody make me bitter. I've been down that road, and I'm sure you have too. I made up my mind, Lord, I want to let my life be an example to others about how to deal with hurt, how to deal with heartache, how to deal with pain. The soil of bitterness is a struggling, sinful heart. The seed is a hurtful event. The soil of bitterness is a struggling, sinful heart, in as much as where you are spiritually depends on how you're going to handle bitterness. A heart that harbors resentment, hurt taking deep root within our hearts. A bitter person does not get over hurt easily. And so now, if somebody's lost, their nature lends itself to doing what the world does. And so it's just kind of natural without the Lord. But after you're saved and give your heart to Jesus, things begin to change down here. He changes our heart, changes our lives, and makes us more like Jesus. We ought to be an example to a lost world. An unregenerate heart experiences bitterness. An unguarded heart and a life believer will experience bitterness. Or a carnal heart. One of the best examples of a carnal heart, carnal means fleshly, is Luke's Gospel, chapter 15. One of the most famous parables Jesus ever told was the parable of the prodigal son. But the truth is, we often focus on the younger boy who came to his father and said, Father, give me the portion of goods that cometh to me, and I want to go to the far country, I want to experience life. Not too long ago, one of my children, and I think he did it in jest, but he said, Daddy, would you consider giving us your inheritance a little bit early? My response was, I didn't pray about it. I just said no. Your day will come one sweet day. But the truth is, he was kidding. But the truth is, you can tell a lot about people when they express their desires and their wants. This young man said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that will come to me at that day and let me go and experience life out there in the world. Let me be my own man. Let me find myself. I made a list of seven things that characterized this young man and contributed to the seed of bitterness in his older brother. He was angry on a bitterness level. He got his feelings hurt very easily. This is the younger brother now. You see, the older brother is coming, wants to come home. The older brother stayed at home. And now he's having feelings of resentment toward his younger brother who left home and went away. He was angry on a bitterness level. Got his feelings hurt easily. Be careful, please be careful Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. It's too easy to be wounded, too easy to be hurt, too easy to be offended. Not only was he angry over bitterness level, he was unwilling to be right with his brother. The older brother went outside and started to pout. Father said, come on in and join the party. We're going to celebrate your brother coming home. He was unwilling to be right with his brother. He chose rather to display his unhappiness by not joining the party. He was self-centered. Verse 28 said, you never threw a banquet for me. You never threw a party for me. And I stayed here and took care of the chores. I stayed here and took care of the ranch. And so bitterness demonstrates itself in a lot of different ways. He was self-righteous. Never abandoned any time if I requested what my younger brother requested of you. Again, you're treating his homecoming with celebration. He's also marked by self-pity. I never did anything wrong. I did everything I was supposed to do. And this is the thanks I get for it. By the way, be careful. Bitterness will make you kind of be leaning towards self-pity anyway. So be aware that's a pitfall. He had a critical spirit. Thy brother, by the way, this is interesting. He said, thy son went off and spent your money on pleasure and profit and on partying and all that kind of stuff in the world. The truth is, the older brother didn't know what his younger brother spent the money on. He just assumed, but it just revealed a critical spirit. In verse 30, the older brother lost his joy. It wasn't much fun to be a member of the family board because he developed a spirit of bitterness. It's interesting enough that to talk about the destruction of bitterness, the child of God deals with a fleshly or a carnal heart has a root toward bitterness. Bitterness is easy to hide, to deny, and to disguise. Fruit always resembles the root. In Galatians 5, Paul talks about the root of the flesh, producing fleshly fruit, hatred, wrath, and strife. Sometimes the root produces bitter fruit. Few things will cause more disruption in life than the bitter fruit of bitterness. I've shared this illustration a long, long time ago, several years ago, but let me share it again, if I may. It was a real pretty summer day, and my daddy, who on some occasions was a prankster, kind of a jokester, and I were walking through the field one day and came across a tree. It was a, what's the tree that bears fruit that's really bitter in the spring?
Persimmon.
Persimmon, that's what it was, the persimmon tree. You know where this is headed, don't you? I remember saying this to a little boy. I wasn't much over 8 or 9 years old, I don't guess. I said, Daddy, can you eat this persimmon stuff? He grinned with a big grin and says, yes, sir, son, you sure can. I don't even know where this is going. So he pulled the persimmon off and gave it to me, and I shall never forget that moment. I tasted that persimmon. It was bitterly bitter, sour, with a capital S. I spit and choked and harked and carried on probably for another 30 minutes. Now, the truth is, later on in the fall, when the frost comes, the winter comes, persimmon's a sweet thing, but not until the frost comes. And I thought, this is not the worst bitterness you may ever experience. The truth was, I learned something that day. Be careful when you come to being confronted with bitterness, because you won't forget the damage that it brings. I've got a list of things here that we need to be aware of concerning the bitter fruit that the root of bitterness produces. It devastates your spiritual life. Be careful as a child of God that you don't allow the devil's treacherous tactics to get hold of you and to persuade you. The devil wants to trip you up. In fact, he said to Simon Peter, you're going to deny me. Simon Peter said, I'd never deny you, but he did 3 times. And the truth is, being turned around by bitterness, being affected by bitterness affects your spiritual life. You can still go to church, you can still do spiritual things, religious things, but the truth is, your heart will be affected. It devastates your spiritual life. It destroys your physical life. You can be sick and not be bitter, but you can't be bitter long without becoming sick. It hurts you one way or another. Bitterness discourages you emotionally, divides churches, families, and friends, and delivers you to the enemy. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul described in verse 31 bitterness as harbored in the heart. It is the word wrath, seething inward resentment. That's the word wrath. The word anger is explosive, outward anger. Clamor speaks of speech and the ministry or the use of the tongue to express a wounded heart. Or hurtful words, evil speaking. Or malice, the desire to hurt somebody. The truth is, we must guard our hearts against bitterness. Nobody is so spiritual that they're in you. Nobody is so faithful in the Lord that they can't succumb. So let's talk for just a moment about the deliverance from bitterness. First of all, I want to suggest to you that we get honest with God and ask God to reveal to us what he sees in our hearts. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, I don't trust my own heart to evaluate my life, my spiritual temperature. And Lord, I just want you to know that I need you to speak to my heart and show me if there's anything in my heart that's keeping me from being the Christian I ought to be. We ought to allow God's grace to reveal the tendency toward this thing called sin and bitterness. Search me, O God. Trust God's grace to remove it. I thought it interesting in verse 15, lest any man fail of the grace of God. You can't get rid of bitterness by yourself. You need the help of the Holy Spirit to cleanse your heart, make you whole again. In his book, the title of it was Lee, the Last Years, Charles Flood reported that after the Civil War, Robert E. Lee visited a Kentucky lady who took him to the remains of a grand old tree in front of her house. There she bitterly cried that its limbs and trunk had been destroyed by the federal artillery, and she looked to Lee for a word condemning the North, or at least sympathizing her loss. After General Lee, after a brief silence, Lee said to the woman, "Madam, cut it down and forget it." And that's a good advice for us. If there's an air of bitterness in your heart toward anybody for anybody, any reason, turn it over to the Lord. Then cut it down, the Lord would say. Cut it down and forget it. Renew your faith. Go back to the cross and say, "Lord, I need a new measure of grace to deal with this thing called a broken heart." Nurture your faith. Feed your faith. You see, the thing is, the more you feed yourself with the Word of God and prayer, the time spent with the Lord, the less time you'll have to ponder on being hurt and wounded and discouraged. Guard your heart and your thought life. Don't park on a hurt or heartache. Don't camp out on a wounded line. Bridle your tongue. Don't allow your tongue to become an instrument of communicating to others your bitterness. And I like this one. Cherish your relationships. One of the things that we need to remember is one of the most precious things God does is give us friends and family to be a part of our lives and encourage us and bless us. Cherish your relationships and treat them with great confidence and kindness. And rest in the providence and the promises of God. Claiming Romans 8:28, "For all things, we know that all things work together for good. Those who love the Lord, those who are called according to his purpose." Follow peace with all men. We have two choices. We can allow bitterness to destroy us, or we can allow God to develop us. In the people who want us to be. When you forgive and allow God to remove the bitterness, healing begins. Stay with me now for just a moment. Many, many years ago, I struggled with this very thing. And you think, a pastor for many, many years, surely would be spiritual enough and mature enough not to have to deal with this thing called bitterness or a wounded heart. But the truth is, I had been wounded very deeply. I really didn't know how to deal with the hurt and heartache until a good friend of mine, just in confidence and great care for me, because he loved me, and they loved me and Libby, gave me some advice. He said, "Jackie, you go home and do whatever it takes to make things right. And nothing is more important right now than getting rid of this thing called your wounded heart and letting the Lord heal it. And again, would you do whatever you need, whatever you can to make things right? Let the Holy Spirit take care of the healing." And I did that. And I asked for forgiveness for my wounded heart. It was extended, and today that relationship is as sweet and wonderful as it could have ever been. It remains to me that I learned something. Even preachers struggle with bitterness. I can't struggle with it. And so don't think that you're immune to it. God's grace will replace bitterness with peace. Follow peace with all men. We have two choices. I underline this in my notes. We can allow bitterness to destroy us, or we can allow God to develop us into the people He wants us to be. When you forgive and allow God to remove the bitterness, the healing begins. I've got a sermon that when I was on the road to evangelism, I preached quite often, because I found out it spoke to hurts and spoke to hearts and spoke to needs. I'm not sure if I preached it here or not, but the title of it is Burying the Hatchet Without Leaving the Handle Sticking Out. It talks about how to get over a wounded heart. And I want to tell you, God allowed me to come away from a relationship that had been wounded with a fresh new look at what it means to walk in forgiveness and walk in the victory on the dark valley. Of brokenness. Lord, how can you deliver me from bitterness? Fix your eyes on Jesus. Go back to the cross. Don't live one more day without seeking to be as clear in this thing called heartache and wounded life as you can possibly be. Can I pray for you this morning? Let's pray together.